chapter 1 says this, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I'm also the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I have been thinking and praying and doing some reading over a long period of time, but especially just in the last couple of days over the disturbing video clips that have been going around on Twitter concerning Andy Stanley and other pastors on Twitter who present themselves as a spokesman for God and yet say things that are against the scripture and that can easily be used to lead people astray. Some of you may remember in the early 80s, there was a crisis that hit America. It was a new kind of evil. It was a sick, twisted individual or individuals. I don't know if they ever got to the bottom of it, but they were putting potassium cyanide in extra strength Tylenol capsules. Somehow, some way, they were getting in there and putting this poison in the medicine, and a person would have symptoms of a headache or some other kind of pain, and they would say, "Well, I need to take an extra strength Tylenol," and they would take that Tylenol in good faith, and in a matter of hours, they would be dead because their body couldn't handle the potassium cyanide. It is similar to what was happening in the situation with the nurse. They did a docudrama on this this person called the Good Nurse, where he was putting insulin in the IV bags at hospitals and care centers and killing patients, just randomly killing patients. And the hospitals would just pass them off from one hospital to the other hospital to the other hospital because they didn't want to have the liability associated with this guy. And they kind of kept it under wraps and wouldn't talk about it. And when finally they discovered what this guy was doing, they said that he was responsible for at least 29 deaths, but they think more like 400 deaths over a 16-year period. Hey, it's a terrible thing when your medicine becomes your poison. And that situation that happens in the physical realm where someone poisons an extra strength Tylenol capsule, that happens over and over and over again on a bigger platform in the spiritual realm where those who present themselves as ministers of God open the Word of God and distort it in such a way that that which was intended to bring salvation and encouragement and help and healing and deliverance and restoration actually ends up sending people to an eternal hell, bringing them to eternal death. You know, physical death is obviously a bad thing. We mourn, we grieve when a loved one, a friend, when a loved one dies. But as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, for a Christian, when we lose a loved one, we grieve, but not as the rest who have no hope, because we know that he has made a promise to those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, and the promise is eternal life. So as bad as it is in the physical realm, it is a million times worse in the spiritual realm when someone stands in the pulpit and addresses a congregation of people who are coming to hear from God, to have an encounter with God, and that person is putting spiritual cyanide in the medicine. Well, Jude, the second to the last book of the Bible, it's in there in that order, I think, from the Lord to really let us know, hey, right before my return. You have Jude, and then you have Revelation. Revelation is telling us about the future. Revelation is telling us about the condition of the churches in the first century, the seven letters to the seven churches, and then it's telling us about the scene in heaven. I believe Revelation 4 speaks of the rapture in kind of poetic terms. He heard the sound of a trumpet, someone speaking to him like the sound of a trumpet saying, come up here, and John was immediately taken up into heaven. And then from Revelation 6 to Revelation 19, you have the tribulation period. Revelation 19 is the return of the Lord to planet Earth. He sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. He does battle at the Battle of Armageddon with the Antichrist and his forces. Then Revelation 20, he sets up his 1,000-year reign on the earth. And then you have at the end of Revelation 20, you have the final judgment of unbelievers called the Great White Throne Judgment. And then eternity, Revelation 21 to 22, the eternal state. But right before that wonderful book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, remember it's not revelations, it's the revelation, the unveiling, the revealing of Jesus Christ in all his glory. Right before that, you have this little book of Jude. Jude was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is just 25 verses. It'd be very easy to memorize the whole book of Jude. And what is Jude saying? He's saying, hey, I wanted to write to you, and I wanted to have a great letter of encouragement to write to you about our common salvation, but the Holy Spirit changed my writing. I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, that you fight for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Why? Because the faith is under attack. Because certain persons have crept in unnoticed. They've slipped into the water. Like if you've ever watched a National Geographic show, you see like crocodiles can slip into the water, and they do it without even making a ripple. They're just very crafty and sly as they come upon their prey. They've crept in unnoticed. Those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. And Jude says these people are ungodly persons. And what do? They turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, into a license to sin. They distort the grace of God and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now remember this, in these days in which we live, it is very, very important. John said this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And as you read the New Testament, you'll find that Jude, the little 25-verse book of Jude, is very, very similar to 2 Peter chapter 2. Some have said, oh, this is, you know, we got to throw this out. They're just copying one another. No, I think it's God just telling us, listen, I am warning you in strong terms. I'm repeating myself. You know, when we repeat ourselves, it's for emphasis. And I think God is repeating himself in those terms to really emphasize in the last days, false prophets arose among the people, as Peter says, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. So we dare not be deceived. Now, in our staff meeting at First Baptist Texarkana, we meet every Wednesday at 10, and we always go through a book. And so the book we're going through right now, we're just finishing it up. It's John MacArthur's book called The Truth War, Fighting for Certainty in an Age of Deception. And it's based on the book of Jude. And one of the things that that John says in his book is, we live in a day and age where Christians are so biblically illiterate. They don't know what the scripture says. So when you're biblically illiterate, it is very easy for someone who is winsome and funny and creative and persuasive to tell you something that will sound good and have a little Bible sprinkled on top, but it will lead you astray. Now, remember this, the devil has two ways that he comes at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We can go on the offensive because the devil is a defeated foe, but he is not a an absent foe. He is a defeated foe, but he's still there and he's still fighting. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone whom he may devour. And here's his attack strategy. He comes at us from the outside through persecution. And we read about that in the book of Acts. The church was being persecuted. One of the big persecutors was Saul of Tarsus, who came to Christ and became Paul the Apostle, arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived. But the devil will come to try and destroy the church through an outward attack, persecution. And our call as believers is to stand under the pressure of the persecution. But then when that doesn't work, because persecution really strengthens the church. We don't like persecution, but persecution strengthens the church. And it doesn't stamp out the fire. What it does is scatter the embers, and people start to say, hey, there's something to this Christianity. You see how these people are being persecuted, yet they won't deny Christ. So persecution really strengthens us. So when the devil comes with persecution and that doesn't work, and he says, okay, if you can't beat them, join them. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to infiltrate the church. So there's the attack of persecution, and then there's the attack of infiltration, where the devil comes and he presents his false prophets, who don't announce that they're false prophets. They don't tell you that they're a false prophet. They don't tell you that they're going to turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. They don't tell you that. They just do that. And they come in the Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol bottle, but they're poison. It's poison. It's potassium cyanide in the Tylenol. And you think what you're getting is this person who is speaking for God and trying to help you and trying to be a blessing and trying to help you grow in your Christian life, but they're not. They're servants of Satan and emissaries from hell. And that's why the scripture says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And it is critical for Christians in the pew to be discerning. And I tell my church all the time, listen, you need to be like Berean Christians, Acts 17:11. But these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. You have to check out your pastor and what he says. Is he preaching the word of God? Is he telling you the truth? Or is he turning the grace of God into a license to sin? We used to call that, when I was in seminary, guys would call that greasy grace. You know, it's just, that's just God's grace on that. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the people that cuss and say, pardon my French. Be like, well, that's not French. I took French in school. That's not French. You just cussed. But, you know, it's just, let's just dismiss it. Let's just put God's grace over that. Hey, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And those are, they work in concert with one another. And we don't just say, well, grace just trumps everything, and so we can live any way we want. No, we can't. No, we can't. And so we're talking today on Real Truth for Today. We're talking about when your medicine becomes your poison, and how God has called us as believers to contend earnestly for the faith, to fight for the faith. And as we stand under the pressure, what do we do with the persecution? We stand under the persecution. We stand up to the infiltration. We call out those who are perverting the gospel. And we stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross. We speak the truth in love. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. This is Real Truth for Today. And when we come back, we're going to share some more and then open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you about this subject, standing for the truth in the day and age of deception. Don't go away.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is so frustrating. But here's some great news. If you missed the December 7th deadline for open enrollment, it's not too late. Here's something that can really help. It's MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. It's people who encourage and pray for each other too. MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. Plus, it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. So worth looking into. MediShare 65 Plus is open for enrollment. And if you join right now, before January 31st, your second month will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
On January 12th, a tornado tracked across several southern states, leaving significant damage. 8 Days of Hope is going to the hard-hit area of Selma, Alabama, and we need your help. Here's 8 Days of Hope president, Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door. And there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country. And homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 or older. Meals and lodging will be provided. Come and be the hands and feet of Jesus. For more information or to volunteer, visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about contending earnestly for the faith and the issue of when your medicine becomes your poison, when you have false teachers who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible warns us repeatedly about false teachers, those who take the word and twist the word to lead you astray. Now, I was thinking, as the scripture introduces us to the father of false teachers, and that is Satan. He is a liar and the father of lies. When he comes on the scene in Genesis 3, he doesn't say, this is amazing, when many of us have read Genesis 3 over and over, the fall of man is a very critical passage of Scripture. But if you count up the words in the New American Standard Bible, it's 45 words that he speaks to Eve. And in 45 words, he turns her away from God, turns her on to the forbidden fruit. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was delight to the eyes, that it was desirable to make one wise, she took from the tree and ate and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And it's pretty amazing to me how in 45 words he could get her all twisted like a pretzel. Hey, the devil is more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. You and I, in and of ourselves, are no match for the devil. Somebody was asking me the other day, they emailed me and said, talking about rebuking the devil. And I said, you know, the scripture, the only thing we have in scripture about that is we say the Lord rebuke you. When the archangel Michael disputed with the devil over the body of Moses, he did not dare bring a reviling accusation against him. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. It even says in the Old Testament, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And when you hear people that just say, I rebuke you, Satan, that's not in the Bible. We refer him to the Lord. The Lord rebuke you. And as Christians, we need to contend for the faith, and we need to be very cautious with people who preach the word, that we check them out to make sure what they're saying is true. Now, my sweet wife, who's on the program often, she always listens when she's not on the program, and she said, hey, I was just reading in my quiet time this morning from John the Baptist, or from John the Baptist, John MacArthur, and she said in his study Bible, she said that he had the profile of an apostate. And what do you find? And he lists 18 things. What do you find in a false teacher, in someone who presents himself as a disciple of Christ, but he's not? You know, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. He only comes to the party in disguise. He doesn't tell us who he is. He's a deceiver. And so this is what John had to say, just very quickly: profile of an apostate, of somebody who's a false teacher, of somebody you need to avoid. They have an ungodly lifestyle. They are morally perverted. They deny Christ. They defile the flesh. They're rebellious. They revile holy angels. Don't do that. They are dreamers. This is all coming from 2 Peter, I think, or from Jude. They're very similar. Revile holy angels. They're dreamers. They are ignorant. They're self-destructive. They're grumblers. This is coming from Jude. Fault finders, self-seeking, arrogant speakers, flatterers, mockers, cause division, worldly-minded, without the Spirit. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter that they make merchandise out of people. They are greedy for gain. They have eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. Now, yesterday I had Tom Askell, Dr. Tom Askell, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, on the program, and Jenna Ellis had him just a little bit ago, and they were talking about the Andy Stanley thing and preachers that put a question mark where God has put an exclamation point. That's exactly the very first thing that came out of Satan's mouth when he approached Eve, is a question. He takes the word of God, twists the word of God, and adds a question mark to it. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Question mark. Well, God said, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the tree you can't eat from. So if God made a 100 trees that they could eat from, there's only one that they couldn't eat from. But the devil twists it to say, you know, that mean old God, you know, he makes all these things and says, you can't eat from it. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Question mark. Watch out for the preacher who puts a question mark on the word of God, who puts a question mark where God has put an exclamation point, who tries to water down sin. As one pastor said, you know, we need to be careful. We need to whisper where God whispers. He was talking about homosexuality, and he made the inference that God whispers at sexual sin, whispers at homosexuality. You know, when I heard that, I was shocked. I was like, God, tonight I'm preaching Genesis chapter 19. It's the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Peter talks about that. And he says that Sodom and Gomorrah, God made an example of them, having made an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. Sodom and Gomorrah is known for their debauchery and known for their homosexuality. And God rained fire and brimstone on that city as an example of those to those who would live ungodly thereafter. If that's not an exclamation point, I mean, that's like 10 exclamation points. And so God doesn't whisper at sexual sin. Be careful when a pastor tries to take the edge off the Word of God to make it more palatable. I tell my church all the time, listen, if you come to church and the sermon steps on your toes, just know that it stepped on my toes before it stepped on your toes. The preaching of the truth, preach the word, 2 Timothy 4, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Think about those things. What's a preacher to do? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, you just ask yourself the question, do I like to be reproved? Answer, no. Do I like to be rebuked? Answer, no. You don't like to be reproved and rebuked. I don't like to be reproved and rebuked. But hey, we both need to be reproved and rebuked. So encouragement and the exhortation that comes from the preaching of the Word of God, it comes after we get reproved and we get rebuked. Now, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we need to hear the truth so that we can respond to the truth, so that we can get our lives in line with the truth. And so many of us, we want to come to church and we want to hear what we want to hear. It just make me feel good. You know, Joel Osteen says, well, I just want people to come to church and feel good. I don't want them to feel bad. So he's not going to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And I love what Adrian Rogers once said about 2 Timothy chapter 3. Teach is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all Scripture. He said, profitable for teaching, that tells you what's right. Profitable for reproof, that tells you what's not right. Profitable for correction, that tells you how to get right. And profitable for training in righteousness, that shows you how to stay right. So the Bible, preaching the Bible, what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. And we need to preach the word, and we need to be very, very careful when we hear something that doesn't sound right. Here's a little rule of thumb. If it's new, it's not true. If this is the first time that anyone has ever introduced this idea in Scripture or about the Scripture, it's like, I've never heard that before. I've never read a commentary where anyone has ever said that before. And so for 2,000 years, the church and all the church fathers and men who love the Lord and spent their whole lives studying the Word, they never came up with that. If it's new, it's not true. It's not true. And so just like I said Sunday in my sermon, what is a lot of prayer? Prayer is reminding God of what He said. Lord, you remember that your word says this. Lord, you remember that. You remember you promised this. Not that God is forgetful, but just shows God, God, I trust your word. And so we remind God. And when we come to church, 2 Peter chapter 3 says this. We remind the people what the Lord has said. It's not that they're always learning something that they've never learned before or never heard before. Peter says this in 2 Peter 3:1, this is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of our Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. People need to be reminded that God loves them. People need to be reminded that God hates sin. People need to be reminded of the cross and the empty tomb. They need to be reminded of the Holy Spirit and what it means to walk in the power of the Spirit, to be surrendered. Basic truths that we constantly, it's just like stoking a fire. You just keep fanning the flame and getting that hot again. This is what you have in Christ, because we all tend to forget. And we all can be like the church in Ephesus, where we wander from our first love. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about this subject, when your medicine becomes your poison, and how we need to be on the alert, and how God has sounded the alarm that there are false teachers in our midst, and we need to guard ourselves from that. And we don't need to be in a church where there's false teaching taking place, because that would be horrible. And people that stay in a church that is clinging to and preaching heresy, you're doing damage to your soul, and you're doing severe damage to your children if they're with you in that church. So you got to get out and get in a solid church. Well, we have Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor. You know, there are some very good pastors like you and others on the radio and TV, but I am amazed. I'm 72 years old. How many preachers there are on TV, and I wasn't going to name them, but you named some of them. But I have heard Joel Osteen, I've heard T.D. Jakes saying that, you know, that God accepts homosexuals. That T.D. Jakes said he has evolved, and he is evolving. I've heard Andy Stanley say that we don't need the Old Testament. We'll just rip it up and throw it out of the Bible. It's not relevant to us today. The Ten Commandments, we don't need to keep them. And I was shocked the other day. I just couldn't believe it. And it was a tape of him saying it. Somebody wrote Charles Stanley and asked him, could a practicing homosexual, not an accident, but a practicing homosexual go to heaven? And he said yes. And the Bible plainly says those that do such things shall not. That means if you live a rebellious, ongoing lifestyle. And I even heard Billy Graham make a statement to Robert Schuller that there was going to be people in heaven who didn't even know they were saved, who never heard of God, who never made a profession of faith, but God just chose them out. And he was choosing men out of everything, and they just knew they had something missing in their life, and they didn't know what it was, but they was going to be saved. And the Bible does not teach that. It says, how can we be saved unless we've heard of him, or unless a preacher is sent to preach to them? You know, you can't be saved without hearing somebody speak the Word of God. And I cannot believe what I'm hearing on TV. Like I said, they are some good preachers still, but they is a whole bunch of people out there. You know, and the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should walk. Well, these people are training up the children of God, and they're training them to walk the wrong way. It's very dangerous if you don't know the Bible at all to listen to most of these preachers anymore.
Right.
It's the most dangerous time that I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and maybe that's why the country is in such bad shape.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Lee. It is dangerous, and you don't want to subject yourself to that because, as I mentioned, the devil is more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And so if you say, well, I can weed through this teaching, some of it's good, some of it's bad, I can, you know, eat the fish and spit out the bones. But if you're getting a lot of bones, some of those bones can stick, and you can swallow those, and they'll stick in your throat, and they will harm you. And people that listen to lies over a long period of time, that just wears down your defenses. And we need to be reminded of the truth. We need to be strong in the truth. And so we don't need to be hearing lies constantly from the pulpit and say, well, I don't believe that, but I really like this guy, and I have a lot of friends in this church, and so, yeah, our preacher's not real strong on the word. Hey, you need to have a conversation with him, and if he's not willing to own up to what he believes in and preach the word as the Bible commands us to do as preachers, then you're going to need to leave that place. And so I know that's hard for a lot of people. And we have, you know, in mainline denominations that have jettisoned the Word of God, the clear teachings of Scripture when it comes to sexual morality, when it comes to marriage and God's definition of marriage, They bail on that and they go with the culture. Well, God's not going to bless that place. He writes Ichabod over the door of that church. The glory of the Lord has departed. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shrievely. Thank you for calling in today. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the phone lines open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, as we talk about contending earnestly for the faith. Don't go away.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
Mrs. Charles Cowman shared the following. A frequent visitor at Mount Vernon wrote, "No company ever prevented George Washington from attending church. I have often been at Mount Vernon on Sunday morning when his breakfast table was full of guests. They did not keep him from attending church. And instead of staying at home out of a false compliance to them, he always invited them to accompany him. The psalmist says, 'I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.' God's word says, 'Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves.' Your Bible-believing church needs you, and you need the church."
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
American Family Radio listening family, this is Bible League International, and we've spent the last few weeks telling you about persecuted believers praying for Bibles to be able to endure and persevere in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We told you about Pastor Roussis, whose three sons were murdered by a terrorist group that hates Christians, but rather than retaliate with violence, they invited these people to learn about Jesus. 200 have come to Christ. They need Bibles in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And in the Middle East, Pastor Yusuf and a deacon in his church were kidnapped in broad daylight. When the family could not pay the ransom, they kill the deacon, they torture Pastor Yusuf, but with conviction today, that brother can say, "It's an honor to suffer for the Lord." AFR listeners, you've given so generously in recent weeks so that 9,000 Bibleless persecuted believers now have a Bible. Our goal is 16,000. So in this season of giving, at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, will you pray about it? And then call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give it sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, I wanted to let you know that we are planning a trip from the church, First Baptist Texarkana, to Israel. We're going October 16th through the 25th. We'd love to have you come with us. This will be my fourth trip to Israel. And it's funny, so several years ago, I was at, where was I? I think we were at Megiddo looking at the Valley of Armageddon. And who did I see in Israel? Tim Wildman. And he was leading a trip. I know Tim goes a lot. And so we got to visit there in Israel. If you've never been, it is an incredible opportunity. The Bible really does. You've heard this said, but it's really true. The Bible does come alive when you see these places where Jesus was. You walk where Jesus walked, and you're there praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you are witnessing the empty tomb with your own eyes, having the Lord's Supper. We always end with the Lord's Supper there at the Garden Tomb, the empty tomb. Great trip, October 16th through the 25th, and you can find out more information at fbctexarkana.org. FBC.org. FBC stands for First Baptist Church. FBCTexarkana.org. Love to have you come with us. Well, we have the phone lines open as we're talking about contending for the faith, as we're talking about when your medicine becomes your poison, when people come into the pulpit, the enemy has his emissaries that present themselves as men of God, but they're not. They're agents of deception, and so we want to know the truth so we can stand in the truth, and we want to sound the alarm. Hey, it's time for God's people to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross, to speak the truth in love and to not tolerate false teaching in their churches. Well, we have Janet on the line from Texas. Janet, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. You know, my heart is in evangelism, and I will share with you, Billy Graham was my preacher man. He did believe in you need to repent of your sin and truly ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, to take away your sin, to give you life eternal. It was because of his preaching, the Lord used him in my life. He was in a revival one night, and at the age of 12, I accepted Christ. I referred to the scripture verses he preached, and I accepted Christ. So Billy Graham did, he believed that you need to repent of your sin and truly ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, to take away your sin, to give you life eternal. But I'm leading up to the fact about Andy Stanley. I have witnessed homosexuals, and I think homosexuals, deep down, they want to hear the truth. They'd rather someone share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them than not to. They'd rather have someone to tell them the straight truth than to sugarcoat. Because I shared back in the 80s, I went through evangelism training, and I shared Christ with a homosexual young man. Our singles went to a bowling alley one night. And
yeah,
this man was dressed.
You shared that, Janet. You called in and shared that story. That was awesome.
I forgot. I did. I didn't know it was another program. But the thing of it is, I shared later, 2 years ago, with two homosexual young men. And I shared Christ with them, and they were so-called married, but they're not. But I told them, I said, you know, y'all have been on my mind, and I shared Christ with them, and I shared that testimony of that young man in the 80s with them, and I said, see, he's a set-free young man, and I said, just remember, after death, it is too late,
right.
And you know what, Pastor, I'm so thankful I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, because on Judgment Day, I will have known I shared Jesus Christ with them, but it bothers me that Andy Stanley and other preachers that are not taking serious the souls of those homosexuals, because they're going to answer before God.
Right. Yeah. I appreciate that, Jan. I appreciate your heart for people. And it's a devastating thing. And as Tom Askell said this morning on Jenna's program, you know, Hebrews 13:17, pastors are going to give an account of the people that God put in their care and gave them a responsibility to preach the truth to. If you are preaching lies to them, that is serious, serious business. There is no greater sin than when we mess in the things of God. You can say, well, you know, this sin's bad, that sin is bad, but messing with the Word of God and telling people a lie and twisting the truth, I don't think it gets any worse than that. And so we're going to have to give an account to the Lord. I'm not Andy Stanley's judge, but what he's doing is harming people. It's not helping people. So, Janet, God bless you. Thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Nancy from Virginia on the line. Nancy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm very nervous, so bear with me. I don't usually call into talk shows.
Well, thank you for calling in.
This is really on my heart because, as I explained to someone there, I'm reading a book called Hell's Best Kept Secret by Ray Comfort. And many of his books are wonderful books, but this one just, I think, hits right to the heart of what the conversation is today. Because I think as professing Christians, I see so many friends. We know so many people who live in sin. They live together. They live a lifestyle that they justify their adultery. They live in homosexuality as if it is okay because, you know, God loves everyone. And they forget that God is a holy God. He's perfect. We are all guilty before Him. We're lawbreakers. Mm-hmm. And when we listen to man-centered teaching rather than God's word and stand strictly on it, we are deceived by the enemy. And I think in a lot of our churches, and I liked his point in his book, we have altar calls today and people come to the altar and they think, oh, I'm getting my rubber stamp now into heaven. I'm okay and you're okay, so we're all going to be okay in the end. And we forget that God requires repentance.
Right.
He requires brokenness and sorrow for our sin. Otherwise, we cheapen Christ's death and horrible suffering on that cross. And we must get back to the word, only the word, and as you said, nothing new, nothing added to it. Mm-hmm. We have to see ourselves as guilty and not having one line across the fence into the world, one in God's word, and think we're going to meld the two and be okay. And
right. That's a great point, Nancy. I love Ray Comfort. I love the way he shares the gospel, and you're exactly right. So Ray uses the way of the master. He uses the Ten Commandments to show people that they are woefully sinful, and they're going to one day stand before a holy God. And I encourage all the listeners today, read Psalm 50. Psalm 50 is an interesting psalm where the Lord calls the world. It says, the mighty one God the Lord has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. And he calls the world to account. And he says, but to the wicked God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. It's a scary passage of scripture, but it's one that we desperately need to heed. God is holy, holy, holy. I tell people this all the time. God is not the God you want him to be. He is the God who he is. I am who I am. And we need to deal with God as he is revealed in scripture and not create a imaginary God out of our own minds, because God is real and we approach God his way because that's the way he set it up. So God bless you, Nancy. I appreciate you calling in today. Well, we have Dan on the line from Texas. Dan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Father, thank you so much. I have so many questions, but anyway, how do we discern what things are false and which ones are true? And how to, one of the questions earlier was brought up in my mind, at least, that, you know, if you didn't hear the gospel for whatever reason, are those people all counted out? And there's so many preachings now. I mean, do you personally believe that we could still have prophets today? They were throughout the Old Testament, and I believe that on the same level as the apostles in the New Testament. There's just so many different things.
Yeah. So, Dan, here's where I would encourage you. So, there are lots of questions. There are main issues that we need to be solid on. The gospel is not confusing at all. It's very clear in Scripture. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. Jesus is God in the flesh who died on the cross for our sins. He rose again on the third day. According to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that is the gospel. And whoever will repent and believe. Repent means you come to your senses, you recognize, hey, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner, I can't save myself. And Jesus, I put my faith in you and you alone. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. The Apostle Paul was solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. So we center in on the things that are extremely clear in Scripture. There are other things, other questions that we have where the Bible is not as clear. So we don't really know exactly. And there can be room for interpretation, and good and godly men can disagree on the timing of the rapture. Good and godly men can disagree on some of the finer points of Revelation and end times. We can disagree on this issue, that issue, whatever it is. But we don't disagree on the person of Christ. We don't disagree on the work of Christ. We don't disagree on repentance and faith. Those things are solid. And so, as I heard John MacArthur say, he said, I know that there are things wrong in my theology just because I'm not infallible. He said, but I don't know where they are. And he said, if somebody would show me where they are, then I would change my viewpoint on that. But he said, you know, I want to just keep seeking the truth. And so, you know, the Bible doesn't speak a lot about babies in the womb and babies outside of the womb that die. We have said, well, there's the age of accountability God's grace covers. And we just know that we just entrust all those things to God. God is a good God. God wants to save. And he's not setting up these hoops, so to speak, so to keep people out. Jesus died so that people could come in, but you have to come his way through repentance and faith and through the blood of the Lamb. So God bless you, Dan. Vince, we just have about another minute. Go ahead. Thank you for calling in today.
Thank you for taking the call. Few things that are on my mind. I appreciate some of the people, especially previous callers, talking about we are all sinners and we need his grace. And I do not think we need to compromise the word, of course. And I'm not defending Andy Stanley. I have been checking that out more lately. I've followed Charles Stanley for years. I haven't found anything where Charles Stanley said that homosexual practice will be entered into the kingdom. I found the opposite, but just think we need to be careful and each of us research what they've really said. But the bigger thing is that we do need to hold them accountable, and too many people don't read the Bible, and that's not an excuse. That pastors need to preach the truth, because unfortunately too many in the congregation may not be reading on their own, so they need that truth. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You're exactly right. So it still always goes back to the Word of God, and we have to read and rightly interpret the Word of God and spend time in the Word of God. What I have found too is you find some people that you can trust that seem to always be solid on the Word. And if you don't know what a scripture means, go and see what they said about it. Find some solid websites that are giving you truth that aren't, you know, aren't in this for the money or for the fame or whatever. They're in it for the truth. And it doesn't mean you're going to necessarily believe everything they say, but they will help you rightly divide and rightly discern the truth. Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve, and it's such a privilege to get to share with you every morning. And I'll be back again tomorrow. Go out. Remember the two words, shine and share. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.